Okay. Let's call to order this evening the March 6th meeting of the Surrey County Board of Adjustments. Roll call, please.
Miller.
Here.
McGill, absent. Philmeyer. Scarlett.
Here.
Steele.
Here.
For the board members, you've been provided with a tentative agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any changes or additions to note? Hearing none, all in favor of tonight's meeting signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by nay. Okay. We were also provided as part of the preliminary postings, I'll have to say, since we're posting on the web, minutes for the January 30th meeting that we had. That was our last meeting. If you've had a chance to review those, does anyone have any corrections or things to note relative to those minutes? Okay, hearing none, those minutes will stand approved as they were posted and provided to people. For people who may be new to this process relative to what goes on here, we will open an individual case, and at which time the staff will present their report. We will ask for any letters or communications from the public that have occurred, and then we will ask that the applicant in each case will present their case. We will accept any comments from the public that would wish to be put forward at that point in time. After all the public comments have been heard, we'll give the applicant a chance for a closing statement. At that point in time, the hearing will be closed and the board will begin to deliberate, and we will not accept any more comments unless you're specifically addressed by the board as we go down through that. Has everyone signed in? I saw several people do that. If so, we certainly appreciate that this evening. Okay. Do we have any comments from the public in general before we go? There's a time period at the beginning if there's any comments in general. Okay. Hearing none, then we will move forward, and we will move on to our new business, which, first of all, is CUP 01-13, the Allen Conditional Use Permit. Turn it over to staff.
Good evening. This is regarding case CUP 01-13, also known as the Allen Conditional Use Permit, for a child care center on a property owned by Andrew and Holly Allen, located in an area of land in the southwest quarter of Section 13 Palestine Township, at the corner of Timberland Drive and Ridgewood Drive, adjacent to the city of Huxley. An area of land of 1.01 net acres, zoned A1 agricultural, classified as residential, as it contains a single-family dwelling that is currently being built and is almost completed. It is in cooperating planning area Tier 1 of the Land Use Framework Map designation, and is 2 miles within Huxley and is actually adjacent to the city boundary. Here you see a surrounding property owner map that was mailed to all surrounding property owners within a quarter mile of the subject property, highlighted in red. To the west of the property is Timberland Drive. As you get out into the county, that turns into 550th Avenue. As you can see on the map, everything to the west of the property and the southwest is in the city of Huxley. The request is for a conditional use permit to allow for an in-home child care center called Ms. Holly's Preschool. Child care center is defined in our land development regulations as a facility providing child care or preschool services for 7 or more children, except when the facility is registered as a child development home as defined in Chapter 237A, the Code of Iowa. The center is currently in operation out of Gracie E. Free Church in Huxley. They are licensed by the Department of Human Services and part of Iowa's statewide voluntary preschool program. The preschool accommodates mostly 4-year-olds and some 3-year-olds. The new site will have a capacity for 20 students. It will operate 12 hours per week, 3 hours per day, four days per week. It will operate out of the lower level walkout basement of the house being built on site. Here you can see some site shots of the subject property. This is looking east towards the residence that's being built. That's looking to the southeast. That's to the southwest. All of that area is sited to be developed for single-family dwellings, and that's to the due west property across the street, and that's to the north. You can see it heads into a rural area. as we head out into unincorporated Story County. Just the standard standards of approval that the Board of Adjustment looks at when approving conditional use permit applications. First one we look at is compatibility. Staff notes that in-home child care centers are generally compatible with residential areas. The proposed child care center will be located inside the single-family dwelling. While this building site has been converted from ag land, this area is experiencing heavy development and is surrounded by residential land. As already stated, the child care center will be operated 12 hours per week during the morning, Monday through Thursday. Generally speaking, while this isn't always the case, nearby residents will be at work during this time and will therefore not experience any excess noise that may be generated from children playing outside. The size of the child care center will be limited to 20 students given constraints of licensure requirements and the physical size of the child care center area. It is the opinion of staff that a child care center of this scale does not warrant any mitigation of nuisances created from the proposed use. Staff also, I left this out of the presentation, but I noted it in the staff report that the City of Huxley zoning code for all the lots to the west are zoned R1, and their code allows for schools. Looking at things regarding transition between the proposed use and surrounding uses, staff noted that the child care center will operate in the walkout basement of the rear of the dwelling to the east. Therefore, outside of drop-off and pick-up, the use will be buffered by Timberlane Drive by the dwelling to the west. While most of the use will be located indoors, there is a little vegetation around the perimeter of the property that provides some buffer between the properties to the north, south, and east. Further, any sort of outdoor play or recreation equipment used by the child care center is generally compatible with residential areas. Staff also noted that there's only fencing currently on the east and south side of the property, and while the dwelling on the property to the north is over 100 feet, 15 feet from the property line, it was brought up. This issue was brought up at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, and the applicant at that time proposed a fence along the north side of the property as well to more further buffer the use from the property to the north. Looking at issues regarding traffic and parking and loading, ingress and egress is provided through the driveway on Timberlane Drive. Story County Engineer, during the initial review, raised some concerns regarding adequate parking during the peak times of unloading and unloading. The concern is regarding on-street parking or stopping, which would not be allowed without street modifications. And street modifications on Timberlane Drive are under the purview of the City of Huxley per an agreement with Story County. The City of Huxley provides all the maintenance on Timberlane Drive there. The county engineer is not confident that the wraparound drives proposed are adequate to accommodate traffic during the peak load and load-out times enough to prevent that stopping and parking on Timberlane Drive, which is not allowed. That's a no-parking zone on Timberlane Drive there. The required maximum parking for a child care center is one space for every employee and one loading space for each six children. At the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, these concerns were addressed by the applicant, and they demonstrated through a diagram that the proposed U-Safe driveway would be large enough to accommodate 20 cars at a time, and further proposed that they would stagger drop-off and pick-up periods so that all vehicles would not arrive at the same time. And the applicants here, if you want them to go into further detail regarding that issue. And this is that diagram that they provided at the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. You can see 20 vehicles, average size vehicles that they placed to scale on that U-shaped drive. Looking at issues regarding signs and lighting, environmental protection, staff noted that there aren't any issues with these. If the board, concludes that all the development criteria will be met, it must approve the application unless there's a probability that the development will not meet one of these five standards. Staff noted initially that the lack of proper fencing for outdoor play may call into question whether or not the proposal adequately safeguards the health, safety, and welfare surrounding properties due to liability issues regarding children potentially wandering off of the child care center property. At the PZC meeting, the applicant proposed, again, a fence along the north side of the property to mitigate that issue. Comments from the interagency review team were primarily just the issues with the county engineer that have already been discussed. And those comments were specifically read into the record during the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting and provided in your staff packet. Notification and letters and publications were provided due in accordance with Code of Iowa requirements. And just staff noted that we did receive a letter prior to the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting from the property owner to the north, Mr. Savared. And we did read that into the record for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. And I can certainly do that again if you'd like, but I did also provide that in your staff report. On Monday, February 4th, the Planning and Zoning Commission reviewed the case and recommended approval subject to these three conditions. The first, that no conditional use permit shall be issued prior to receiving a certificate of occupancy from the state fire marshal. No parking or stopping of vehicles on Timber Lane Drive at any time, pending the resolution with county engineer on the parking and traffic issue. And that three, that the Board of Adjustment shall review the permit after 1 year from approval to monitor any issues with traffic during loading, load in and load out, and adjust or revoke permit accordingly. They will also determine at that time if any further review shall be necessary in the future. And with that, I leave you with the following four alternatives, and if you have any questions, I can certainly answer them.
You mentioned the comment from the neighbor. Is that here?
Either.
I didn't see that in here.
Could you staff report on the final page?
Looking at the right place.
Maybe it didn't get printed off.
Could you at least summarize that for us? And
I can read it. I have it right here. That's fine if you'd like.
Yep.
Apologize for that not making it in there. I strongly protest approval of this preschool permit. I sold this parcel of land with the understanding that a new residential home would be built on it, not a commercial building. This is already a congested area with three busy housing developments. This parcel is located on Timber Lane, the only street which is a mere 28 feet in width leading north out of Huxley. The street goes through the city park and school athletic field. Many times the street is bottled up with traffic. This would be akin to permitting a gas station or grocery store in the middle of this upper class and expensive homes. A heavy traveled school should be in a commercial part of town. If this school is permitted, there would be much noise, such as cars running, doors slamming, turning around and honking and parking on the street. There will be a lot of school noise and commotion in the area. The school is very close to the street and with a few feet of my property line, approximately 75 feet from my home and a small acreage which holds machinery and livestock at times. I have lived here for 50 of my 80 years and I hope to have peace and quiet in my last years. I have a protective dog that will bark and bark next to a school playground. There is an old woman living with me that is in the advanced stages of dementia. She gets upset and scared with any different or loud noises. She would be out staring and conversing with the small children. Lastly, and unfair is the fact that my property will be devalued by 50%, yet must pay real estate taxes on present value. Art Severed.
Questions for staff?
Yeah. Huxley offer any comment except through Darren Moon and
conversations? Yeah, they had conversations with Darren Moon. In fact, and the applicants here can probably divulge in further detail, but they have an agreement with the city of Huxley that if they were ever to be annexed, that use for the child care center would be allowed per their code, that they would be allowed to persist.
Do we happen to know the city zoning district that's immediately adjacent, would it allow this type of use? I'm guessing since they have that agreement that it would, but
Yeah, I mean, that's. I think that's the tacit explanation there. Not specifically. They haven't voiced any concerns. A member of the staff was here for the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, but he didn't raise any specific concerns.
Can you show on the map where the letters property owner lives in relation to this property?
Big square just to the north of the red triangle.
Okay.
Straight to the north, due north. And that was all one parcel. I believe it was split a year ago or so.
Boundary of the subject parcel and the home that's on that lot?
I believe I mentioned it was approximately 15 feet.
15 feet.
Anything else?
One more.
Okay.
What's the status of the residential street that basically tees into this property to the west of the parcel, as far as parking capability? Are there any limitations on street parking on that street?
I'm not aware of the parking regulations on that street.
It didn't look like there were any. Broke to the side, it didn't look like there were any unique limitations on parking there.
Currently, there's no signage saying that there's no parking there along Timber Lane Drive, but I believe that, yeah, but that is the case.
Okay. We have a representative for the applicant. If you go to the podium and identify yourself.
Sir, Andrew Allen here with my wife, Holly, from Miss Holly's Preschool. I sure appreciate you taking the time to do this in a volunteer capacity once a month. Seems like these meetings always fall when Iowa State's playing basketball, but... thanks for the review. I think Ryan did a good job of kind of explaining our intent. Miss Holly's Preschool was started last year. Holly went out on her own after having taught at a preschool, opened up her own business, currently housed at Crace E-Free. We'd established a relationship with them having the intent that once we built the house, we would try to move it to the lower level of that house. So, again, Ryan's done a good job. Holly's at capacity at the church. She's already registered 20 kids, pending approval from not only planning and zoning, but also your group. And we actually closed on the house on Monday, so the house is complete. We're in the process of working with the fire marshal to ensure that the space is, the lower level space has not been completed yet. So we're working with the fire marshal's office to make the bathroom ADA compliant and ensure that all of their regulations are met. As Ryan indicated, based on our initial meeting with the county engineer and then also ahead of the planning and zoning meeting, really took a look at the parking and tried to mitigate any issues there. I think it wasn't included in the original planning and zoning packet, but Ryan's got the new driveway proposal included. We'd also proposed in detail the Planning and Zoning Commission to stage this. So while I feel like the parking driveway has got the capacity, we would, take half the class and say, why don't you come at 8:30 and the other half of the class come at 8:40 to, again, mitigate any potential traffic issues. At present, about a third of Miss Holly's residents carpool, so while capacity could be, potentially 20, we feel like there'd be some ride sharing taking place to help mitigate that as well. There was some opposition, obviously, read by Ryan. There's a neighbor here today. I had considered, walking door to door and introducing the subject and trying to get folks on board, but didn't necessarily want to pit neighbor against neighbor into a new neighborhood that we're moving into, but did reach out to The neighbor who I felt like would be most impacted to the west, there's actually a picture of his house, Jake Sullivan, and I didn't get it in your packet, but I've got a letter from him indicating his support. Of the preschool, I also spoke to the neighbor who occupies the property both to the east and the south. They're farmers who have some sheep, and while I didn't get an official letter, Karen Anderson is the woman's name, and she sure expressed support for the preschool. Finally, I did happen to run into the chief of police, Mark Pote, in the city of Huxley. I did not approach this with him. He brought it to my attention and asked if there were potential concerns about parking on the street as it related to the proposed preschool. I said, indeed there were. His response was, and again unprompted, is that just at drop off and pick up? And I said, yes. And he said, is that like 10 or 15 minutes twice a day? And I said, yes. And he said, well, you won't need to worry about anybody being ticketed should they be parking on the street. Again, my intent is not to park folks on the street. We're going to be clear with parents that they're to use the driveway, but I felt like that was a vote of support from the chief of police. And as Ryan indicated, our intent is to put up a fence and have the backyard completely enclosed. I feel like that will mitigate any risk of the children wandering. Again, they're all 4 years old. These aren't infants. They're all 4 years old, and we've got the 10-to-1 ratio, which is required by the state, to licensed teachers will be on site at all time. And I'm also open to, you know, we talked about shrubbery or any other potential concerns that the neighbors have. I want to be sure that I address those. I want to be a good neighbor. I feel like I want to get along with the folks and do what I can to address their concerns. Happy to answer any questions. Like I said, I feel like Ryan did a good job of explaining the majority of the intent of the request. And he did allude to the fact that I've got city water and sewer. There was some discussion early on about my ability to put in a septic system. There's in the Iowa code, there's a regulation that requires if you're within 300 feet of existing sewer, you're to connect to sewer. The city really kind of indicated that was for residents, but we worked out an agreement. I pay an increased rate for both city water and sewer. And I also entered into an annexation agreement. If certain conditions were met, I would voluntarily come into the city as part of that annexation agreement. The city of Huxley has indicated that the preschool would be allowable so long as it's licensed by the state of Iowa, which we currently are and would have to be to locate it in our residence. Happy to answer any questions or respond should there be any going forward.
Questions for the applicant?
There probably are going to be times when you have an event at the preschool and parents are going to be there watching their children do something like play or something like that, you know what I mean, or an art show or something like that. I mean, as it is, I briefly saw your plan up there. I mean, do you feel like you could accommodate cars for, you know, 40 minutes or however long the art show or the skits or something, and maybe, you know, maybe that's not what's happening at the preschool, but, you know, let's just assume that the parents are all there. Do you feel like you could accommodate everybody?
Well, I did try to put that drawing to scale. Obviously, there's different size cars. Obviously, things might not always turn out like they are on paper. I hadn't necessarily considered the performances or things like that. I will say that we felt blessed to have had our preschool at Grace E. Free Church in Huxley to date, and that facility works out really well for performances we had. Again, if, for instance, a Christmas play where there's 16 kids, we had 100 people show up. So I sure couldn't accommodate 100 people, and in such a case would make alternative arrangements for a venue, likely back to our church. Good question.
Much appreciated. We will now accept any comments from the public. Is there anyone from the public that would wish to speak this evening regarding this case?
Good evening. My name is Bradley Wargo. I live at 305 Ridgewood, which is west down the street from the house. You can see the house at the end of my street. I spoke at the previous zoning commission meeting. I would just basically say that we have great concerns, not about noise, because I'll be at work during that time, but safety of children in the environment for where this is located and how busy that street is. I can tell you at the previous zoning meeting that there was unanimous dissent among all residents who were there, yet the commission voted unanimously to support the petition, and so that's why nobody else showed up today but me. They felt there was no reason to be here since their concerns are not going to be valued in any way whatsoever. I can tell you that I really recently relocated this area. I moved to Iowa 18 months ago. I specifically bought this house because it's in a very quiet, upscale neighborhood, and I have concerns about the traffic related to this activity and potential devaluation of my house because of it. That's my main concern. I can also just make a brief comment that I spoke to several people that were here, and many of them were extremely frustrated by the extremely poor comment by the female member of the board, derogatory comments regarding anybody who could be potentially objectionable to a daycare center must hate children. And there's nothing farther from the truth than that, and I think it's an absolutely inappropriate statement. Our greatest concern is safety and welfare of children. I have five children. My neighbor has three children, one of whom has Asperger's syndrome. I have a nephew on a ventilator and in a wheelchair. I used to be a pediatrician. I care about children. So you take great offense to that previous comment. It's not related to this board, but obviously I can't speak for the people that aren't here. I would just like to speak my opinion.
I asked you about the concerns that you have for safety and welfare of children. It sounds like at least at some point there's only fencing on part of the property, but it sounds like the proposal is that basically the whole property is going to be fenced. Are your safety concerns with the busyness of the street? I mean, is it more of a general concern with just cars and traffic, or is it actually children on the property itself wandering off the property? And does the fence help that, in your opinion?
Well, I guess it depends on what type of fence they plan on building. I mean, they're right on the Huxley line, so they're technically in the county, not in the city. So I don't know what the rules are as far as that goes, but, you know, I'm certainly of the opinion that this is a commercial business that isn't a commercial facility right now, and it should probably stay there. But, you know, if the facility is adequately protected with a fence that kids can't climb through over and around, they're protected from wandering out into the street, I think that would certainly be a much better situation. But right now it's all, well, we plan to do that. None of that's actually there now, and they're wanting to start right away.
If the fencing were... you know, some sort of privacy fencing or something like that where children couldn't wander off the property, would that deal adequately with the safety concerns that you feel that you and neighbors have, or are there other safety-related concerns that you have?
I don't know what the rules are for in-home daycares as far as ADA requirements, fire sprinkler systems, and things like that. I don't know what those are, so I can't speak to that. You know, all I'm trying to do is speak to the physical things that I can see, and I've not walked their property. It's not my property. But I just want to make sure that the children are safe, and I'm sure she's a very good preschool director, and I want her to be successful in her business. I'm just not wanting it in a home residential neighborhood. But I do have concerns about the fact that there is no current fencing, and despite his diagram, you're not going to be able to fit 20 cars in that driveway of theirs. You know, I think there needs to be more there to protect the children in that respect.
Okay, so the safety concerns, I mean, and you correct me if I'm wrong, I just want to make sure that I understand what the primary safety concerns are. You might have some general concerns related to, you know, just day-to-day indoor operation of the daycare, but maybe presumably, you know, licensure might deal with those types of things, right?
Yeah.
But safety concerns that you might have in terms of children wandering off the property, that probably could be dealt with a proper fence, but It sounds like you also have got some safety concerns maybe related to drop-off and kids, you know, going out of the cars and entering the... I mean, is that... Have I isolated the safety concerns that you have?
That, those are the two primary concerns, correct.
Thank you very much. We
appreciate your time.
We will turn it back over to the applicant then for any sort of a closing statement that you'd like to make.
I appreciate the concerns of the neighbors, and like I said, I feel like I'm going to do what it takes to address not only those requirements that you might put forth as an agreement, but also general concerns from a safety standpoint. We're actually opening in September, so we'll stay at our current location until the end of the school year. There's a summer break. This runs just like a school. I would just say that throughout the process, we've involved county staff. We've talked with city. We've divulged our intent from the initial idea and conception long before we broke ground. I feel like I've gotten good support and direction from the county. I feel like I've done what it takes to address compatibility, transition, traffic, parking, loading, signs, lighting. I also feel like, you know, we've got the opportunity to make adjustments as we go. You know, if something doesn't work at first, that, you know, hopefully we could find something else that can resolve whatever potential issues might come up. I just don't see any. I also feel like this, I hope that this is an asset to the community. The neighbors that showed up originally did have general concerns. I feel like they also all expressed that they felt like the house fit into the environment, that it looked like it fit. It looked like it's not a Morton building that looks like a child factory of any sort. This is our primary residence. We happen to want to have a 3-hour per day, 4-day per week licensed school, preschool. So I sure appreciate your consideration. Happy to address any additional questions that you might have.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. In the staff comment about the transition, it mentioned that there is fencing on the east and south side of the property.
Ma'am.
What is that? What kind of fencing is it?
Like farm fence. This is, it borders,
okay.
If you're familiar with like the berry patch where my wife went to preschool, that's, we're trying to kind of replicate that here. So we wanted to stay in the county so that we could have a farm-like atmosphere. Our house is reminiscent of a barn, and we feel like bringing Iowa farm values to kids in a preschool setting is what we'd like to do. So again, we'll be willing to address any fence regulations or concerns that you've got.
Ask you this specifically. The fencing that you have and the fencing that you would propose to put up, could a 4-year-old wander off the property and crawl through the fence?
No.
Okay. and I... I
don't, nor would any
want that,
elderly,
right?
People be able to penetrate the fence.
Okay. And let me ask you this. The other concern related to safety, and I think that, I mean, obviously this is an issue that's been raised with you. It appears that you're trying to deal with it. But I think that it's a legitimate concern about safety in terms of loading and unloading and, you know, children and their parents, quite frankly, you know, leaving their cars and being dropped off and things like that. I mean, in a general sense, I can see that you're drawing, you know, you've got this drawing and you say I can fit 20 cars there, but how do we deal with just general unsafe drop-off? I mean, how would you deal with that?
Yeah, I guess I would ask how you deal with it at any other preschool. I would liken it to any other drop-off scenario. The same thing happens we've got a circle drive into our church, so the same thing happens 4 days a week at Grace E. Free Church in Huxley. And I was there observing one day ahead of the planning and zoning meeting just to see what was the flow like. Was there, you know, a mad rush? Did everybody show up at exactly 8:30? And while there was more traffic at 8:30 than there was at 8:20 and 8:40, it was a general smooth transition. I didn't at the time indicate or think about any special loading or unloading requirements that we would have to take into account in our home environment. So it feels to me like anything else. But again,
is it normal practice? I'm not that distant from my daycare days, but
sure.
Is it normal practice that maybe somebody who's employed by the center would greet people and maybe facilitate that drop off? I mean, I can tell you, at schools they tell you this is where you've got to come in and this is where you have to leave, and God forbid you do it the opposite way. But that would be one thing. I mean, is that something that you could do to mitigate some of the safety concerns? Would you consider doing that?
Well, as a matter of fact, we did. We talked about that. We discussed that. That's something we could do. I don't want to say it would be a last resort. We want to give parents the flexibility to drop their kids off. I know my wife appreciates walking her kids into the classroom. And in kindergarten, when they were first year of school, she actually walked them all the way to the room, much to the chagrin of the staff, for probably 2 or 3 months. So while we considered it and would do it if that was the requirement for approval, I do feel like the zoned, staggered loading, I feel like we're going to great expense to build that driveway. I hope that is enough. If it's not, exactly. We talked about we just position somebody out there, and the parents drop the kids off, and we walk them back in. So we could do that, but would like to avoid it if we could.
One thing that it would do, though, wouldn't you concede, is that it would facilitate the quick exit of the cars, so that you wouldn't have potentially such backup. And I fully appreciate the idea that parents like to acquire their children into the center. I mean, I've been there, but it also would facilitate the quicker exit of the cars, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else?
Okay. Thank you very much. We will now close this case and enter into the deliberation portion of this meeting. I need to probably... some of the things that have come up are clearly beyond the purview of this particular board. And say this for the benefit of the board as well as for the people who have participated in this so far. The Board of Adjustments is a quasi-legal element, and we are dealing with the county regulations as it deals with land development. So we don't deal with things like the fire marshal and et cetera. Those are operational issues that are there. And that's just not the venue that you're in, just so that people understand that is the aspect where we're really dealing with land development, and we are quite constrained in that regard. And that's why you see, as we talk about the things that we consider are limited, you must consider this, you must consider this and this. And so that's sort of the environment that we are in. The first item that we need to go through is the finding of facts, which is the facts that were presented by the board. Out of the questions, I didn't hear any particular quandaries or concerns. Are there any others relative to the findings of fact that people feel need to be clarified?
No, I would move that we adopt the findings of fact in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment. Second that.
Okay. We have got a motion from Fielmeyer, a second from Scarlett, to adopt the findings of facts as presented in the staff report prepared and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Miller?
Aye.
Fielmeyer?
Aye.
Steele?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
The next item that we have is regarding the decision regarding the development criteria. And as it was presented in the staff report, we have got 6 items that must be considered. We're limited to those items. One is compatibility. Number 2 is transition. Number 3 is traffic. Number 4 is parking and loading. Number 5 is signs and lighting. And number 6 is environmental protection. The issue of health and safety is a latter problem. We have to get through these first 6 before we move on to the other criteria. From everything that I have heard, the issue appears to be focused on the parking and loading. Are there concerns in any of the other areas at this point in time?
Only to the extent that I think that there was a condition placed on the fencing as it relates to the currently unfenced area.
Correct.
And I mean, I would be supportive of continuing with that condition if this is approved.
Adding that
yeah.
to the three that
yeah.
we received from the board. Okay. That's duly noted as we move forward. So, comments or concerns, additional information to consider that you think on the parking and loading. I think we've heard, and I think you made a good point, Victoria, relative to events. But I think the applicant addressed that relative to if we had an event, we would certainly have to choose somewhere else because obviously 20 is not the right number for an event because grandparents and et cetera
yeah.
are going to be there. But we've got that commitment. We also have the requirement that's been passed on to us by planning and zoning of a one-year review, which will again allow us the opportunity to say, is it happening the way we thought or the way we went? So that's still certainly out there. The applicant has indicated that currently about a third of people do carpool, which personally does not surprise me. As you go through those time periods, we all look for opportunities to try to help. Thoughts on this whole parking drop-off issue?
Do we have any kind of a traffic count on that road?
I didn't look that up.
Do we have any concerns on those six items that would preclude us from moving to the next phase, which would be the health and safety line?
I mean, I think it's a reasonable concern, but I just went back and looked at what are the principal permitted uses in this district, which in some cases are much more intensive and would present even greater ingress, egress, traffic flow, parking, loading issues than this, and those things would be handled with administrative and site review and never even come to this body. You know, things like public or private stables and riding academies and clubs, public schools are a permitted use in this district, you know. So, and you still have to evaluate the site on its own unique character, but I just, given the on-street parking in the neighborhood, the limited periods of time when people are going to be dropping off and picking up, I guess I feel comfortable with that, especially with the one-year review when we can go back and analyze how it went.
I hadn't thought of it, but I guess I concur with your statement. I mean, I do think that, you know, there are legitimate concerns about pickup and drop-off in this area, but I also tend to think that the applicant is going to be as concerned as anybody, if not more so, as it relates to pickup and drop-off because, you know, I mean, business-wise, if it's unsafe, you're just not going to have your customers. And I do note that, you know, the times of pickup and drop-off here and the hours of operation are very, very limited, quite frankly. And so I think that I can be supportive in that regard.
Yeah, Steph, a question or two now, or is that?
Oh,
okay.
This would be the time.
All right. Is there any district in which this is a use by right, a principal permitted use?
I don't. Commercial district would allow for it, I believe.
Permit and
check that. But most, if not all, other than the industrial district, allows for it as a conditional use. So our R1 district, for instance.
Yep. Thanks, Dan.
So it sounds like, in terms of the first step of this process, that we don't have any objections or feel like we cannot address by a variety of possibly some conditions, that the first six items can be dealt with currently in terms of the current plan development. if that is the case, the criteria that's in front of us then says that we must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that if completed as proposed, there's a strong probability that the development would not adequately safeguard health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property, that it will not impair an adequate supply of light, air, into the surrounding properties, that will not unduly increase congestions in the roads or the hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers, that it will not diminish or impair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property, and that it will not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regs. Does anyone from the board have some specific concerns beyond the one that Virginia has indicated, which I would tend to agree with, which is the fence? Are there other items that we need to address as conditions or such that would make this, if you will, palatable? Okay, if we don't have any at that point in time, then basically that would move us forward to adopt a decision. And if we want to take, we've got the three existing conditions, and then whether we want to amend those for the fence to the north.
I move that we adopt the decision regarding the development criteria and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, subject to three conditions as presented to us by our staff and listed up on the projector there.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to do that with the understanding there would be a fourth?
No, the fence is enough.
Fence is not in there.
Including the fencing of the, is it the north property line?
Yes.
Okay. Yep.
Second.
We've got a motion from Fehlmeyer and a second from Steele to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments, including the three criteria presented by the Story County Planning and Zoning, along with a fourth item that would include the installation of a fence of a similar nature to the ones that are on the, is it the south and the...
East and
the south, on the north, to do that on the north end. Okay. Roll, please.
Meyer. Steele.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye. So with that criteria, then, we are down to the motion for the approve or deny the CUP as presented and as amended by our previous action.
I move to approve the conditional use permit as proposed by the applicant and as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, subject to the conditions included and the amended condition.
Second that.
We have a motion from Steele and a second from Scarlett to approve the conditional use permit as proposed by the applicant in case CUP 01-13, as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustments and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments with all of the applicable standards approval and the conditions previously noted in our actions. Roll, please.
Yeah.
Aye.
Scarlett.
Aye.
Fehlmeyer. Miller.
Aye. Okay. Your conditional use permit has been approved, so I ask you to work with staff as you move forward. Thank you very much. Okay, the second order of business this evening is a conditional use permit minor modification for CUP 02-08 Venice LLC conditional use. turn it over to staff.
Charlie DeSella, our other planner, is actually the project manager for this, so I'll do my, and he was not able to be here this evening, so I'll do my best to get through it.
I think we trust you.
This is the Venice minor modification to a conditional use permit that was allowed in 2008 under the property ownership of Aya Ranch LLC, care of Stephen Nissen. The property located on 190th Street, north side of the west 190th Street, a quarter mile west of George G.W. Carver, and one-tenth of a mile from Pine Grove Lane. Current zoning is A1 agricultural and is classified as an agricultural use. It is a part of the Ames River Fringe Plan, designated as agricultural and farm service, a subcategory of the rural service and ag conservation area. And it is within 2 miles of both Ames and Gilbert. This is a surrounding property owner map that was mailed to all property owners within a quarter mile of the subject properties. Charlie wanted me to note to you that the large 40-acre parcel that's part of the subject area was just added for the surrounding property owner notification purposes. Not all that land is actually a part of the conditional use permit, if I am stating that correctly. Here's some site shots of the property. This is looking northeast from 190th Street. This is looking to the northwest. You can see part of Prairie Moon Winery there. The request is for a permit modification to the Prairie Moon Winery to include the new Prairie Bloom Farm. Adds a new business to the existing conditional use permit and brings in additional land to the existing conditional use permit. The farm will function in the same way as the current winery. The building will serve a purpose of providing a cleaning facility for vegetables and as well as a storefront to sell them. It will be in operation roughly from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, from roughly April through November. Building at the east edge of the winery's parking lot and the car flow between the two will be the same. As stated, the Prairie Moon Winery was issued a CUP under the use of Farms Retail and Novelty, which was approved as a CUP on July 2nd, 2008, and the Prairie Bloom Farm also falls under that definition. Just looking at the different modifications that we offer, these are all determined by the zoning director which one should fall into. The insignificant modification is done administratively by the director, and the minor modification goes in front of you, and then the major modification obviously gets the greatest jurisprudence when determining their approval. Again, as with all CUPs, we are looking at the same standards of approval. Staff noted and determined that there was not a substantial impact from the modification. However, with the addition of a business and the addition of land, there was a discernible impact. The structure for the proposed modification is already in place, and it received an ag exemption on February 9, 2012. The condition of approval for the ag exemption stated that it was not to be used in conjunction with the existing conditional use permit. So this minor modification would allow it that building to be brought into the conditional use permit. If approved, staff recommends a condition that the applicant applies for a zoning permit on the existing structure, as its added commercial use will no longer make it under an ag exemption, so that it would be an illegally established structure at that point. According to the site plan that was submitted with the ag exemption back in February 2012, the proposed structure would meet the required setbacks, so we would be able to issue a zoning permit. In other words, the existing conditional use permit meets the conditional use permit criteria through its existence, and the proposed modification would likely serve as a use that would be customarily incidental and subordinate to the winery itself. Staff also noted that potential for an increase in traffic There is a potential for increase in traffic from the proposed modification. The site plan shows an addition of 6 parking stalls. That is safe to assume that the increase in traffic will be minor. According to the 2011 ADT counts done by the Iowa Department of Transportation, the section of West 190th Street has an average of 620 vehicles per day. In regards to the parking and loading criterion, as the building is 5,400 square feet in size, the maximum number of parking stalls allowed would be 22. The site plan shows 6 proposed stalls, so this is well within the Story County minimum maximum parking requirements. We also require 1 accessible parking stall, and that is on site as well. The proposed modification does not propose additional signage or outdoor lighting. That is not in accordance with the Story County Land Development Regulation, and nor does it appear to be a detriment to the environmental or visual resources in the area. The proposed modification does not appear to generate excessive noise, vibration, dust, smoke, fumes, odor, glare, groundwater pollution, or other undesirable hazardous or nuisance conditions, including weeds. So that's the analysis by Charlie, and then we leave you with the following 4 alternatives, and I would be happy to attempt to answer your questions.
Kind of a question relative to parcels as we deal with this. We're not dealing with 2 different parcels. This is still the 1 parcel with 2 operating entities on the parcel. I didn't hear anything talking about, are we talking about 2 parcels of land? I assume we're talking about 1.
I think there are 2 parcels of land that are, if I remember correctly, the new accessory building is on a parcel to the east, and then the winery and the event building is
built. Original condition use permit applied to how many of those parcels? All? Okay.
And that is why part of this is being brought forth to you as a minor modification, because our standard practice, if we've added land, I will not do it as an insignificant modification. So I do believe there's a 40-acre piece, and then if you look up there, there's a little skinny piece, and then there's a longer skinny piece that goes to the north. That portion of that 40-acre to the east would be included in this conditional use permit. And then that middle parcel would be included as well.
Yeah, just what I'm trying to tie together, what I couldn't quite get out of that is there's an existing CUP that is riding on something. I assume 1 or more of those parcels, and now we're somehow appending
or expanding it
that into more than that. How does that get recorded as you go? I mean, could each parcel is recorded separately?
The decision and order would reflect all the parcel identification numbers. And then whomever is doing a title 10-year search would come and review it by parcel number and legal description. The decision order has a legal description for all the parcels that are affected.
By inference, without us, I guess, and again, I'm probably worrying about the logistics and legal part of it, that by the inference of what we might consider in the actions that we take, it will necessarily, without us being explicit about that, expand the existing CUP to all of the parcels identified up there and add this modification. Am I getting that right?
You're right, but if additional structures would want to be placed on that remainder of that 40, they would need to modify the conditional use permit because the application right now is for the existing structure.
I just kind of want to understand, we move on down the road and all of a sudden something else happens in the northeast corner that we're not anticipating right now, and what was applied or not applied and what expanded or didn't expand, and just making sure we considered those logistics, if you will.
An example? Go ahead.
If we were to approve this CUP, we would not be giving carte blanche to any related activity all over those parcels just by happening to include that parcel number.
That was just, I kind of wanted to clarify that so we didn't.
An example, just in the vicinity, is the church to the south.
Right.
Permit is for both parcel, there are two parcels that are affected there.
Correct.
But right now we have building on one, and if it were to change from that site plan that was ultimately that was originally submitted, it would take a modification. So they can't go out and build a second Kohl's, and that's being ridiculous. But they couldn't put a cemetery out there without amending the conditional use permit. We've had a request for that, and that's why it was on my mind.
Yeah. How long has the new building been up?
It was January 2012 was when the ag exemption was issued, or thereabouts, early last year.
Has it ever been used for an agricultural purpose? Been basically in progress that... Yeah, okay. I'm sorry.
I kind of want to stick with the findings of facts in the staff report. We've got to get to that point. Other questions for staff? So we understand where we're at. Then we'd like to ask the applicant if you've got something you'd like to say this evening to identify yourself. We appreciate it.
Well, my name is Elliot Thompson. I'm going to be working on the farm, and we're just going to ask for this minor modification to the existing wineries, as we feel like this is going to be part of this complex, whatever you want to call it out there, this complex of the winery and then the farm being kind of part of all of it. The winery will use it occasionally for events. We share kind of the centralized parking area, and then we do have the six stalls that we put in. So we feel like it doesn't really change the flow of the way the winery is right now, and ask for the minor modification then.
Already got mine in. Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. And close for deliberations. Again, the first action is somewhat shorter than the last time around, in that we do need to adopt the findings of fact if we feel that that's applicable, and then basically after that we are determining whether the opinion of staff and the director has made, whether we agree with that decision, that it is indeed a minor as such, which gives them the authority to essentially do what they're considering doing.
I move to adopt the findings of fact and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second.
We have a motion from Thielmeyer and a second from Steele to adopt the findings of facts and the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment. Roll, please.
Steele?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Thielmeyer?
Aye.
So essentially this next part, as we go around, that is basically determining we've got the same six criteria that we have had before, but the essence of this thing is really determining whether we are in agreement with staff that this is indeed a minor modification under the rules. Are there any of these areas that people would like to explore further? If not, I'd ask for a motion.
I move to adopt a decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment.
Second. Got a motion, Thielmeyer, a second from Steele, to adopt the decision regarding the development criteria in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustments. Roll, please.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Thielmeyer? Steele?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye. So that brings us to the final ruling. I haven't heard anybody indicate that there are any conditions or other items of concern that would need to be appended to this. And if so, then I would ask for a motion to support this modification.
Can I interrupt for 1 second? Staff would suggest that there would be a condition that the applicant be required to apply for a zoning permit for the existing structure, so that it is brought in conformance with the regulations, given the fact that it was originally constructed through the agricultural exemption. If you look in the draft decision and order, under the order on page 4, right before it says vote, there's some language in it.
Okay. It's
here in the
Well, I move to approve the modification as proposed by the applicant in case number CUP0208.1 as discussed by the Zoning Board of Adjustment and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Zoning Board of Adjustment, finding that all applicable standards of approval will continue to be satisfied upon the condition that the applicant applies for a zoning permit on the existing structure as its added commercial use will no longer make it fall under an agricultural exemption.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion from Scarlett and a second from Steele to approve the modification as proposed by the applicant in case CUP02-08.1 as discussed by the Board of Adjustments and in the staff report prepared for and presented to the Story County Board of Adjustment, finding that all applicable standards of approval will be satisfied upon the condition that the applicant does apply for a zoning permit on the existing structure as its added commercial use will no longer make it fall under an agricultural exemption. Roll, please.
Scarlett?
Aye.
Stillmeyer? Steele?
Aye.
It's approved. We appreciate your participation. Any other business this evening for the board to consider? Any comments from the board?
Yeah, I have a quick comment. Actually, kind of related to the case we just discussed. I think in this case, I think it was fairly clear that this was never intended to be an agricultural building, so I'm glad you included that condition, recommended that condition, and I'm glad we included it. That's going to be more and more of a challenge, as you well know. I mean, with more and more small farms going direct to consumer and value-added stuff, it's just going to be a continued graying of that line between what's agriculture, what's retail, what's wholesale. And so, I mean, with all respect to the applicant, nobody builds a barn like that to be just a barn. And, yeah, I would have hated to see an agricultural exemption granted for that and then have something not be in compliance with the zoning regulations, like not meet the setback, and then come back a year later and attach that to CUP for what is essentially a retail operation. So I don't know what you'd do with that. Just a place on the agenda for staff comment, so I made one.
That's why we always strongly suggest that they do meet our regulations, even though they're not. They're required to if it's no problem for them. So if any reason they're not in conformance with the ag exemption requirements, then it would be in conformance.
Right, and I applaud the applicant for doing that. I can't believe that too many people care so much about the small permit fee when they're building a 5,400 square foot barn, that would be a go around the permit fee. That's not that big of a deal, but I think anything you can do to encourage applicants of ag exemptions to just do it right. Anyway, thanks for listening.
Comments from staff?
I guess I do want to apologize for not getting those attachments into your staff report. I think that was more of a technical glitch with uploading it online, but you should have had the diagram of the parking and the letter from Mr. Saverett.
I had the parking diagram.
Okay.
I just didn't have that letter from Dr. Or the letter from Mr. Saverett.
Got cut off somehow.
Correct. Yeah. So we're good on that as we go.
It was fun watching Leanne type it all.
Leanne, anything from you this evening? Do we have any idea whether there will be a meeting next month?
We'll be meeting to consider an indoor recreational facility conditional use permit. And did anything come in yet this afternoon?
No, not that I'm aware.
I think that might just be it.
Where will that be at?
Highway 210. It's an existing illegally established use that this action would bring it into conformance and out of violation with the existing regulations. No pressure.
Okay. I believe then we will stand adjourned.